God is with us. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Isn't it awesome when we understand the call of God on our lives and the fact that each and every one of us have a purpose? We are all called to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are called to represent the kingdom of God. And though our circumstances and our situations may differ, we know that the mission is the same. And we are a part of an elite group of people that have been called by the name of the Lord. And not just called, but we have responded to the call of God. We are responding to the gospel. We're responding to the finished work of the cross that Jesus accomplished, and he called us, and we have said, "Yes, Lord, here am I, send me." And so as we dive into the Word of God here today, we are talking about coming into kingdom compliance. We are talking about being citizens of the holy city. We are prevailing beyond the times. And even as God is at work in the midst of us, and as God is doing the things that he has called us to do, we are able to see the manifestations of God. And I would like to use as our theme verse here today, 1 Kings 19:18. And it says, as God is talking to Elijah, he says, "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." And so you and I are living in a world where many people are serving a type of Baal. And often it seems as if we're the only ones that are holding on to the message of the gospel, holding on to the truths of God. You might be the only Christian on your job. You might be the only person serving the Lord in your class in school or amongst your neighbors and the people that you interact with so frequently. But I tell you, you are not alone. God has 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal nor kissed him. Hallelujah. And so we can persevere in God. It ought to give us confidence in knowing that though we may not all be together, we are still unified through Christ. And we are able to hold on to the truth of God and the wisdom of God, because God has called us to be a part of his foreign legion. And I'm using Foreign Legion as our theme today, and you and I are draftees or volunteers? Which are you? Are you a draftee or a volunteer? Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word, and we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would fill us with your spirit today, and that you would enable us and empower us, Lord God, that we would be able to hear your voice and follow you. Open up our ears and our eyes that we may see and operate in the direction of the Spirit of God as you lead us and guide us in the way that we should go, so that even when we're old, we wouldn't depart from it. God, use us to be the ambassadors that you've called us to be, the witnesses that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, O God. Amen. Amen. Well, there is this group known as the Foreign Legion, and many of you, I'm sure, have heard of it. It's famous really in France. They're a French elite group of people that have joined the military, even though they are not your typical citizens of the country. And a Foreign Legion is really a military group that many countries have. And what that means is that it gives people who are not citizens of that country or who are not native of that country, maybe come from somewhere else, the opportunity to come serve in the military, in a special forces group. And this group has to meet certain military requirements and has to be able to accomplish certain skill sets as they are trained and go through. And the thing that I found interesting is that you can't apply online. Hallelujah. You can't just mail them a letter, say, hey, I want to join, sign me up. No, but you actually have to show up in person, ready to go to work. And if you show up ready to go to work and you go through the regiment and meet all the requirements, and by the way, they feed you and give you a place to stay and all of that while you're going through this process. Isn't that nice of them? And so if you come from another place or another country, at least you know you'll be taken care of as you go through the application process. And once you meet all of the requirements, you become a part of a special task force or an elite group of people who then are sent out on various missions to represent the country that they are being sent out by. And this is very similar to you and I. We are born into the kingdom of God, and we are drafted by the call of God. He has called us to be his ambassadors. He has called us to walk in his ways, to serve him, to do all that he has called us to do. And we respond to the call of Jesus. And at that point, we then say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And we now volunteer to come into kingdom compliance. We make the decision that we are going to hear his word, hear his voice, and follow him. And we change from living our lives in the ways of the world, the way the world is functioning and operating, and we redefine the things that we know in the world to align with the kingdom of God. Now we apply godly principles in our lives so that we can actually have a divine experience through life. And our goal is to fulfill the call of God, to fulfill the mission. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? So we are fulfilling the call of God. Jesus actually had a mission. He didn't just come into the world and say, oh, look at me, I'm the Son of God. I'm gonna do all kinds of miracles. I'm gonna prove everything to everybody, show everybody what I'm gonna do, and I'm just gonna go, woohoo! But that's not what the mission is. Jesus' mission was to bring redemption to a lost and dying world. He understood what was at stake. He understood that what the law could not do, he had to do himself. And he had to come and be the example to the world so that we would know how to live in compliance with the ways of God, with the word of God, so that we would be able to be the ambassadors that he's called us to be. The problem with the Old Testament was they didn't have the power to do so. And that is because of the opposition. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual authorities in high places. We're wrestling against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so there are all types of strategies at work against us, and we need the strength of the Spirit of God to enable us to navigate these challenges, to be able to know what to do, how to do, and have the wherewithal and the spiritual gumption to persevere. And God enables us to overcome. And this cannot be done just by knowing what to do. Many people know what to do. I've read books on how to fix cars and how to do things and all kinds of stuff. But there's something about reading about it in a book and actually having to do the work. And so it's easy to say, well, I know how to do it, but it's a whole different thing to get in and actually accomplish it. And this is the challenge that humanity faces. Mankind faces this challenge in that we all have a Bible. We all know what the Word of God says. The problem is living it out. And this is where trouble comes into play. And some people have the idea that if no one sees that they're not doing it, that they can keep on pretending as if they are. The problem is, it's obvious when you're not living it out. And you might be able to fool yourself, but you cannot fool the people of God. Hallelujah. And the world is watching us, and the world is looking at the lives of those of us who are called Christians, and they are wondering what in the world we are doing. I have seen interviews and heard stories of different people who are in the presence of famous people, and they're interacting with people, and instead of standing up for the testimony of Christ and the witness of God, they conform to the world around them, to the people around them. All of a sudden, when they're asked questions about what the Word of God says and what the Christian perspective is, they start, and they start twitching and but you know the truth. And we know what the Word of God says. And the world knows. You know, the devil knows the Word of God. And because the devil is listening to see, do you really believe what you say you believe? Or are you going to hide yourself in the world? And this is the challenge that we face. And God has called us to rise above this type of mentality so that we can overcome. And that is why we join the special forces. We get into the Word of God. We surround ourselves with people who are seeking God, with people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for his name's sake. We align ourselves with people who are looking to apply the principles of God in our lives. And we see this here in the Word of God. And in 1 Kings 19:11, we see this story of Elijah as he is running from Jezebel. You all know Jezebel. I mean, I know you know, you know, yeah, well, yeah. All right. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, he says, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord was passing by. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. And this is when Elijah's ears perked up. All of a sudden, it says, when Elijah heard the wind of the Spirit, he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, Elijah had run because he had killed the 500 prophets of Baal, and he was actually following through on doing what God had called him to do. And as a result, Jezebel was angry, and she was after him. And as a result, he went on the run. He became a fugitive and found himself hiding in a cave. And you and I aren't living in a society that's that bad yet. But who knows what tomorrow will bring? And we certainly know that we as Christians are not favored among the people as we used to be. And so now we're living in a day and age where people have changed the definition of right and wrong and what is of God and not of God so much to the point now where evil is good and good is evil. And so as we are living our lives in compliance to the kingdom of God, we find ourselves at odds with the world. What Satan does is he changes the definitions of the things that God has defined. And once the definition is changed, people begin to live according to the new definition. And all of a sudden, the thing that they shouldn't have done, they are now doing. And the thing that they shouldn't have or should have done, they're not doing. Did I get that right? Yeah. All right. And so when we find ourselves walking in the ways of God, we will find ourselves at enmity with God, as we talked about last week. And as we follow the will of God and the plan of God, we will see that the world will find itself at odds against the people of God as time goes on. But that's okay, because God has all things in his hand. And so we know that we have to learn how to make a stand for the kingdom of God. One of the biggest challenges that Christians face is making a stand, being able to stand. And if we don't make a stand, then we will find ourselves overcome by the world. We will lose all of the liberties, all of the freedoms and the strengths and the wisdom and the power that God has imparted to us, simply because we have come out of alignment with the kingdom of God. Elijah had run into this cave and was hiding. And so now God wants to teach him a lesson. He wants to train him on how to remain faithful to God, because there's no reason to hide when God is with you. And so here he is hiding, and he is hearing the earthquake and the thunder. Now, he's in a dark cave. Remember, they don't have electricity. They don't have any technology. Here's a guy. He's in a cave. There's thunder. There's earthquake sounds. There's fire. There's all this stuff. And he's hiding and looking for God. But God is not in all these things. These things are things that will get your attention. And there are many times when we as Christians, we find ourselves in the midst of the earthquakes and the fire and all the things. And everybody's going, ooh, look at that. Oh, look at this. And it's a distraction to keep you from hearing the still small voice of the whisper. And many times we miss God because we don't hear the whisper. God is in the still small voice, that whisper of the Spirit of God. And that means no matter what is going on in the world, no matter what chaos and confusion is taking place, we must always be listening to the voice of the Spirit of God. God will lead us. He will guide us in the way that we should go so that we can accomplish the will of God. And God is asking Elijah, what are you doing here? This is not where you should be, man of God. Rise up. You wiped out all the prophets of Baal. Let's go. We're taking the land. We're moving forward. We're redeeming the people. And Elijah is panic-stricken. He's concerned because he thinks he's all alone. In verse 15, it says, the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. In other words, God is telling him, carry on with your kingdom business. Keep doing what you would have normally have done. Go back to work. Stay the course. Remember who you are and what your mission is in life. And you and I, we're on a mission from God. We are a part of this elite group of people that God has called into this world to be representatives and ambassadors of the kingdom of God. God has called us to win souls and to impact the lives of the people in this world, to bring light into darkness. You and I must be able to do these things as we fulfill the word of God and the will of God. You and I are called to function as the called of God. And when we do, God trains us in the process. He provides for us in the process. He makes a way for us, even when it seems impossible. Sometimes you feel like you want to hide, but that's all right, because when the voice of the Spirit calls, you will hear it. And you will follow him. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You and I must learn the voice of the Spirit. We must learn to hear the voice of God so that we can have confidence in what we're doing, knowing that we are fulfilling and applying the principles of the kingdom of God. When we become doers of the word of God, the kingdom and its resources become transferred through us. And we are now able to do the work of God. We are able to accomplish what God would have us to do. Even as Elijah persevered in these things, doing what God had called him to do. Verse 17 says, it shall come about that the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. This is important because it points out the fact that those who are there, they're already there. You just don't know that they're there, Elijah. You just don't know. You think that that because of your situation, you're the only one serving the Lord. There are many whom God has called. There are 7,000. In fact, in a legion, a typical legion is about 6,000 men, 6,000 fighters or warriors. And I find it interesting that in a legion there's 6,000, but God says, I have 7,000. Hallelujah. And that helps us to see that no matter how challenging our situation may be, no matter how big it is, God has one up on the enemy. He's always got one step more that he can overcome. He will enable you and I to have victory, even though it may seem like we're all alone. You might feel like you're hiding in a cave, but God says, rise up and get back to work. Let's do what God has called us to do. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to rise up in you as the Spirit's voice speaks and as the anointing of God empowers you and strengthens you and enables you carry out your kingdom business. Don't be intimidated, but let God arise and his enemies be scattered. God has called us as his people that you and I are able to prevail. We are not alone. There are 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal, that are remaining faithful. You're not the only one. You're not the only virgin. You're not the only one who doesn't drink. You're not the only one who doesn't party and go wild out in the world. You're not the only one who's not doing all these things and changing their gender identification and identifying with all kinds of stuff. You're not the only one. God has 7,000. Hallelujah. You can stand. You can stand. And when you understand that the voice of the Spirit will give you direction, he will give you the ability to discern and operate so that you can carry out the call of God in your life. And we see this in Jesus' life here in John 18:33. It says, therefore, Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus. And he said to him, are you the king of the Jews? It's like Oprah interviewing some of these Christian guys on TV. He says, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? He's asking, are you asking this because you recognize the works of God and the presence of God in your midst? Or are you just going based on what other people have said, on the stories, on the testimonies, on the things that you have heard from various people? And I would submit to you that you and I need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's one thing to hear testimonies and hear what other people are saying about Jesus, but you and I, we need to get to know him for ourselves. We can't rely on our mother's testimony or our grandmother or somebody's praying for us, and we have all kinds of things that are going on around us, and we have friends and people who love the Lord and are serving God. You need to get to know him for yourself. And this is what Jesus is asking. This is what he is concerned about. You and I, we need a personal relationship with the Lord. We need to serve God from a whole heart. We need to be obedient and obey and apply the principles of God and his word. Pilate then answers and he says, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. You see, Jesus is making a very interesting statement here. And the point that he is making is that he is not of this realm. And you and I are not of this realm when we're born of the Spirit of God. And now we may live in the flesh in our human bodies, but we are born of the Spirit. God breathes himself into us, and there is a transforming work that begins to take place in us, and we begin to be changed into the image of Christ as we apply the principles of God and his word in our lives. If you don't apply the principles of God in your life, you will not change. You may be transformed in your heart and in your mind, but your life will be that which reflects the principles of Baal. And God has called us to align ourselves with his word. And so Jesus is pointing out these realms. There are four realms that we see in Scripture. The realm of humanity, the realm of man. That's where the world that you and I live on, the dry land, if you will. Then there's the realm of the sea. We see that in the story of Jonah, and we see that in the story of Noah, where God has authority over the sea. In fact, the realm of the sea encompassed the earth and became the primary realm, and is still actually the primary realm in the world today. And each realm has its uniqueness to it. And the creatures, those things that God created to operate, were created to function within the realm of their created place of life and purpose. And you and I are called to operate in the realm of the Spirit. The realm of the Spirit is the fourth realm. The third realm is the realm of the sky. It is where the birds of the air are. It even includes anything that is not on the ground or below the ground. And that realm of the sky is the place where the Scripture calls the heavenlies. And Paul actually talks about the heavenly of heavenlies. And you and I are able to tap in to the realm of the Spirit, which transcends all three other realms. All of the other realms are transcended by the Spirit realm, and that is the realm of God. It is the realm where God himself is. It is the realm of the Spirit of God. And in that Spirit realm, there is the workings of God, and God himself is at work. And God's creation is within his realm. However, it is not outside of his realm. And so you can't escape being in God. Hallelujah. He is everywhere. And no matter where you go, you can go out into space as far as the Enterprise will take you. And you can go where no man has gone before. And you will still be in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you will find that the word of God and the faithfulness of God will be with you wherever you go. You can dive into the deepest sea and go miles deep down into the ocean. That's right, miles deep into the ocean. And God will meet you there. The Lord is a dominion over all of his creation. And you and I are able to tap into the realm of the Spirit, whether we're in the water, whether we're flying in the air, whether we're out in space somewhere, or whether we're running on the earth. God is in the midst of us. And so you and I are able to tap into the realm of the Spirit. And the realm of the Spirit is important because that is the realm that enables you to have understanding into all other realms. The voice of the Spirit of God. God will give you wisdom. He will give you direction. He will enable you to accomplish the things that you need to accomplish so that no matter what you face, God can give you a way out. Hallelujah. He will make a way of an escape. No matter what your problem is, no matter what your challenge is, no matter what your difficulties are, no matter what people are saying, no matter what people are doing, you can remain faithful to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They may tell you that we're going to build a city in the ocean and we're going to go down there and live. You can say, well, God bless you. Enjoy yourself. They may say we're going out to space and we're going to live on some planet somewhere way out there. And I say, God bless you. Enjoy yourself. But that will not give you a way out from God, because God will still hold you accountable to his word. And the principles of his kingdom will still apply regardless of where you are, because you are a human being. You're a man. You're a woman, even if you want to say you're not. Hallelujah. And God is going to hold you to that standard, and it doesn't matter what people say. Well, you're a hubba-jigigamamwa. Oh, yeah? Well, guess what? Now that you're the hubba-jigigamamwa, now, guess what? God is saying, you still have to obey my word. You still have to apply the principles of God. And he is going to hold you, and you will stand before God and give an account for everything you do in your flesh, just like the man and the woman, or so we are now called. Well, for now. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, as we are applying these kingdom principles, Jesus is establishing himself before Pilate, and he says to him, you are a king. And Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king, for this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. This is you and I. This is our position in the world today. If you are living in Christ Jesus, if you are serving God, if you have been born of the Spirit of God, this is what you have to say to Oprah and to anybody else. You have come into this world because you have been born for this purpose, to testify to the truth. It begins at home. You start with your children. You testify of the truth. Then you go from your children to your fellow coworkers on your job, or your fellow students in school. You go to them, and then you may go to your neighbors and your friends and maybe extended family. But wherever you go in truth. We bring the truth of God and his word. We represent the kingdom of God. We know that there are people who don't want to hear the truth. Hallelujah. They just can't handle the truth. But God has still called us to bring the truth. Hallelujah. And the truth is the truth. And God has established it. And Jesus brought this into the world. And if you are of the truth, if you are of God's word, then you will recognize Jesus. Why? Because he's the word made flesh. He is the word made flesh. And you and I, when we're of the truth, that means we're abiding in his word, because truth and the word, there's a synonymous, they go together. So when we're abiding in the word of God, then we are able to identify with the Spirit of God, which opens us up to the realm of God, so that we can follow the rule of God and apply those principles to gain the results of the kingdom of God. This is what God is working out in our lives. You and I are these examples that the 21st century needs to see. Our children need to see it. They need to experience it. We are the ones who God has called for such a time as this. This is our call. You and I must be of the truth and not hide in a cave. Not pretend like, well, I'm just going to let them do what they want to do because, you know, kids will be kids and I don't want any trouble. Well, guess what? You're going to have more trouble than you ever knew if you don't stand up for the truth. If you don't stand for the righteousness of God, it's only going to get worse for you. And it's going to become more and more difficult, more and more challenging. And you're going to find evil rising up in your house, evil beginning to overtake you and overflow in your life. And you're going to find yourself in total and utter darkness with all kinds of confusion operating in your life. All because we don't stand for the truth. And that overflows into your workplace. It overflows into every area of your life. And you have a state of confusion at work around you because you won't make a stand for the truth. We have to learn how to be doers of what is right so that we can have a Christ-like experience in our lives. Many people are suffering under the hands of oppression and bondage, and it's largely because they don't operate in the truth. They're operating in deception and compromise. Compromise will lead you to destruction. And this is why the people of God so often are lost, and they find themselves having the same statistics the world has in their lives. It's because they've strayed from the truth. And when you hold to it, you will be able to see the truth come to life for you. For you. Pilate said in verse 38, he says to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no guilt in him." This is Pilate. Pilate is he's the guy who's in charge of everything. He's not of God. He's not no relation. But even he recognized truth. Why? Because the Spirit of Christ was there. He was standing before Jesus. And I'm sure that didn't feel like standing in front of anyone else. When you stand before Jesus, something happens. Something happens. Things begin to shift. All of a sudden, you know, Jesus had an anointing. And there was a presence. There was a presence that Jesus had. And I'm sure that whatever spirit he was operating under, it was under subjection. That spirit was bound. And so he said, "I find no fault in him. Move him on. You know, move him on." Hallelujah. And you and I can have the same experience when we're walking in truth. That spirit that is working on your children or working on your coworkers or your mother, your father, your uncle, your sisters, your cousin, your whoever, your neighbors, when you stand in the truth of God, the Spirit of God will drive that spirit away. It will dispel the darkness. This is why we walk in the truth, because we're tapped in to a whole different realm. We're tapped into the realm of the Spirit of God. Jesus said, if I was of this realm, he said, my servants would already be fighting. He said they would have jumped into this a long time ago, because this has been messed up for a long time. He said they would have been fighting already. But he says, I'm not from this realm. I'm just here to redeem people out of this realm. And you and I are the redeemed of the Lord. And our mission is to bring redemption to those who are in darkness, to bring redemption to those who are lost. We are here to represent the truth, reality, sanity, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, a sound mind. People don't have sound minds anymore because everything has been redefined, and you and I are holding on to the truth of God. And so verse 39 says, but you have a custom that I would release for you at the Passover. Do you wish then that I release for you the King of the Jews? Now here he is asking people who are of a contrary spirit. Now, these are people who are outside of the operation of the principles of the kingdom of God and of Jesus. And history tells us that there were people who were trying to drown out the people who were crying out to Jesus. They were crying out for Jesus, but the loudness of the people of darkness, they shouted them out. And you and I often get shouted out when we're trying to speak truth. We try to reason with people. We try to talk sense to them. We try to get them to understand. But for some reason, they don't get it. They just refuse to listen. Oh, they will yes you to death. Isn't that right? Oh, yes, you're right, you're right, you're right. Oh, that's so true. Oh, that is right. Oh, I'm going to do it. They walk away from you, and all those things get drowned out by the voices of evil and darkness. And now they stay in the hole. In fact, it gets deeper and worse as they go along because they allow the voice of darkness to drown out the voice of the realm of the Spirit of God. And so you and I have to apply the principles of God. We must be able to see the redemptive work of Christ at work among us. We see this in Romans 8. And in the first few verses here, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, we understand that. There's no condemnation. And if there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, then there has to be a reason for that. Because it's really saying that there is condemnation for those who are not in Christ Jesus. And that's the other side of it. And so you and I are called to walk in the righteousness of God. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? It means, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what it means. He's talking about those who actually apply the principles of the kingdom of God. Once you come to Christ, once you believe, once you do all those things, now you must avoid condemnation by applying the principles of God's word in your life. Otherwise, you will suffer the consequences of your disobedience or your unwillingness to serve. You will find yourself being overrun by the enemy. And he explains it here, and he goes on. He says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. I love this piece because this helps us to understand why you have to be a doer of the word. And not just say, well, I believe, and I trust you. Well, guess what? The devil does all that. This is where it's at. He says, for the law of the spirit of life, that means the law of the spirit of life means that if you obey the word of God and apply the principles of God in your life, you will be set free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? It's the law that says the soul that sins shall die. That's the law of sin and death. It says every time you sin, you bring separation. The word death means separation. And so every time you sin, it puts distance between you and the kingdom of God, the things of God, the will of God, the blessings of God, the manifestations of God. Everything regarding God, every time you do things that are in contradiction to the word of God or to the truth of God, it drives a wedge between your experience and God. Hallelujah. So now your life becomes a mess. You say, well, I've been saved for 30 years. Well, yeah, you may have been saved for 30 years, but you've been walking in sin since the day you were born. You never changed. You never changed. You keep doing things the way the world does it. And it's not going to benefit you. You can believe all day long, but until you start operating according to the principles of the kingdom of God, nothing changes for you. You say, well, I'm going to the Lord. I'm going to heaven. You might get to heaven just barely. They may drag you in. You'll be coming in. And God says, is that one of yours, Jesus? Well, I don't know. Can we talk about it? And so God has called us to apply the word of God. Jesus said that they will know them by their fruit. Your fruit is what defines whether or not you're really a child of God. It's the fruit of your life. Are you walking in the ways of God? Is the kingdom of God being transferred through you? Are you having biblical life experiences? That is the witness of the Spirit. That is the testimony of the kingdom of God. It's the very thing that causes you to stand out from the world, because the world is looking for truth. And you and I, we have to hold on to the truth. We must walk in the righteousness of God. We cannot allow the TV and the internet and all these people who are doing all this jibber-jabber talking. They have no, I think coronavirus helped us to see. These people have no idea what they're doing. None, zip. They're literally making stuff up as they go along. One week it's this, another week it's that, the next day it's that. Then they contradict everything they said and say something else over here, and then they go and say this again. They just like, wait, you just said that didn't work. Well, what the, when is, why? Have we all just gone crazy? This is the world we're in. And these people are leading us. These people are leading us. And we're like, well, yes, you know. No, 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 no. Hold on to God and his word. Hold on to the truth of God. Hold on to the righteousness of Christ. God isn't the one who has all authority in his hand. God is the one who is faithful and true. He will enable you to overcome. He will enable you to hear and see. Listen for the whisper, the small voice of God, the soft voice of the Spirit. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches. If you have an ear to hear, don't just believe every spirit, beloved, but test the spirit to determine whether or not it's of God. And the way you test the spirit is, does it align with the word, with the kingdom of God, with the principles of God's kingdom? And that means you must know them. That means you meditate on them day and night so that you don't get confused. The more you see confusion in the world, the more you need to meditate in the word. You need, hallelujah. Let me just pull out my word. I'll put it on my headphones. I'm going to let that thing. Thank God for technology, right? My goodness, you could be laying there like this and you can hear the words. It'll be speaking to you. And you'll be burnt out, tired, whatever it is, run over by the city bus. It don't matter. You can hear the word. You can have that playing. Laying in the hospital with things beeping, beep, beep. You can have the word and you're going in your head. The word. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You can have it all happening. You can come alive because you got the word of truth. The word of truth, my friends, it will change your life. It will set you free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he says, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Hallelujah. In other words, when you fall short, God will make up the difference. He says, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He said it was like sinful flesh, right? And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, Jesus beat it down like whack-a-mole. He was able to put that flesh under subjection. He said, you will not. Hallelujah. And Jesus had the power. And because Christ is in us, you and I can say, not today, Satan. No, no, no. You will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's not about somebody. Listen, somebody else's house, that's somebody else's house. But my house, that means all your kids line up. Every one of you. You don't have no choice. Your choice is, we are the children of God. We follow the principles of God. We line ourselves up with the word of truth. And I'm going to teach you how to become more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord, because you will learn the word of power and the strength of God. This is what's wrong with the Christian church. Everybody's giving the kids the authority. Now, we know science has already told us that their frontal lobes are not able to process and reason until they're almost 25 years old. But we're letting them rule a house. No, no, no. You're not even mentally of a state where you can even make sense of your own sensibleness. But yet kids make parents look like donkey mules. And we see it on TV. On TV, you see people watch these shows where the kids, with these kids shows, they always make the parents look like fools or some kind of ignorant person or some kind of, they make the adults look like they don't know what they're doing or what they're having. Now, that is true in government. We know that. We know that. When they're in government, that's what happens. But the people of God, we are hearing the voice of the Spirit. And so we follow the voice of the Spirit of God. And we allow the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and guidance. And so what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, has made it an offering for sin. In other words, he paid the sin debt. It's been condemned. It's been paid. The debt is paid. And you and I are now free when we change our direction, right? Repentance. That's repentance. Some people think you repent one time. No, you repent every time a decision has to be made. Every time you have to decide what to do, you either repent or you don't. And so you will either, repentance means I'm going to choose to do what God would have me to do according to his word, rather than what I'm thinking I want to do and how I feel I want to do, or what my family is telling me, or my worker, my coworkers, or my boss, or my kids, or whoever's telling me. I'm going to repent from all of y'all, and I am going to apply God's word. Now I'm going to do God's word. That's repentance. It's not just one time. It's one time to get you going, and then you don't stop. You're repenting all the time. I'm always repenting. And my wife helps me. She's very good at that. Hallelujah. So we have to learn how to change the way we do things so that we can align with the word of God. He says, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. You see that? Paul, he's making it very plain here. We are able because we're changing whose rules we're going to follow. We're going to follow kingdom rules. We're going to follow God's rules so that we can have a divine experience. This is warfare. This is why we are going through this training. This is why God had to train Elijah that you don't have to hide in a cave. And he learned that. And he was able to do many miraculous things. In fact, he trained up the other prophets so that they too could learn. And you and I, we need to train up our children. We need to train up our friends, our coworkers. We train each other. We help each other. I learn from you guys all the time. And we all learn from each other so that we can have victory through Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We're able to overcome because of Christ Jesus our Lord. I tell you, if we didn't have the influence of the world around us, we would all be in a much better place. And one day, we will be with the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we see that the manifestations of God are able to be accomplished when we apply the principles of God and his word. For those who are according to the flesh, verse 5 says, to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. In other words, if you're from the realm of the sea, you're not thinking about what's going on the land. You're not thinking about the birds flying over, the seagulls and everybody. You're down in the ocean, and you're focused on what you do in the ocean. That's your realm. That's where your focus is. And God is saying when you're of the Spirit, you're operating in the Spirit. Your focus is on the things of the Spirit. You're not worried about what's going on the land or the birds flying around or outer space. Your focus is on the realm of the Spirit of God. You and I ought to be of the realm of the Spirit. I say ought to be because I can't speak for you. But you and I ought to be in the realm of the Spirit. And when we operate in the Spirit, then we're able to see the manifestations of God, and the power of God moves from that realm into our realm and begins to bring down strongholds. And God enables us, he strengthens us. So now we're from a world or a realm of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. So when the world sees us and we're smiling, we're happy. Yeah, we have the joy of the Lord and we have everything. We know everything's going to be. The world's in chaos and confusion. They got all kind of stuff going on. And people are, you know, they're doing all kind of stuff. And I was like, wow, what in the world's going on? And you're just like, wow, what are you, what? Well, I'm on a mission. I'll see y'all later. And we keep going. And we move on and we do what God has called us to do and we accomplish the will of God. But if you get caught up and you go, ooh, wow, what is that? And meanwhile, they're like trying to deal, swat and stuff. And you say, oh, that must be some new dance. No, they're trying to deal with the devil. They're trying to shake that demon off. You don't have that spirit, so just leave them alone and you keep on going. You move. You keep doing what God has called you to do, and you will see the realm of the Spirit dispel the realm of darkness in your life. God will make a way, even when it seems impossible. He says the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Saints of God, we can have life and peace if we stay in the realm, right? You've heard people say, stay in your lane. I say, stay in your realm. Hallelujah. You stay in your realm. Are you of the dark realm of darkness? You stay over there, and I'm going to stay here. I'm in the realm of the Spirit of God where I have life and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That's where I come from, so I don't know about all that oppression and bondage you're talking about. It's not at my house. And I don't have that in my house. When you come to my house, you have the peace of God that passes all understanding. You have the anointing that destroys yokes of bondage. People come in and they go, ooh, what happened? I say, oh yeah, that devil had to wait at the driveway. So that's what happened. That's what happened. Because this land is under kingdom authority. And so when you come in here, there's a whole nother operation going on. And you and I have to establish that. Otherwise, people are going to bring all kinds of spirits to your house and drop them off. The mailman, he's got a spirit. Hallelujah. UPS. Now you got Amazon driving. You know, so you got all kinds of deliveries being made to your house. Hallelujah. You wonder why. Oh, my goodness, what is going on here? Well, you didn't establish your boundaries. You establish your boundaries. I pray for the mailman. I see him. He sees me doing like this. I'm going, Shanda, in the name of Jesus. I say, yes, bless him, Lord. Lord, let that spirit keep riding. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. And they come to the door. They drop it off. I'm like, in the name of Jesus, I'll take that box. Hallelujah. That's right. You're not going to come. You're going to come over here. You're going to get saved. You're going to come over here one day. You're going to say, man, it always feels. I had a guy tell me this. Man, it feels good when I come over here. He said, man, what are you guys? This is a nice place. This is a real nice place. Oh. I said, it's the spirit of the Lord, brother. I said, come here. Let me pray for you. He was like, what? 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 What you mean? What? Yeah, he was like confused. All of a sudden, he was like, what happened? The spirit left him. I said, pray. The spirit left. All of a sudden, he didn't even know who he was anymore. He was like, wow. He was just like, so I said, yeah, let me pray. He was like, okay. You know, we're from a different realm. We're on a mission. We can't forget who we are. We can't forget what life is all about. Set your mind on the things that are above, from the realm of the spirit. Let God be glorified. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile towards God, it says. It says, for it doesn't subject itself to the law of God. In fact, it's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The saints of God, you got to get out the flesh. You got to get out of the flesh. You got to get in the spirit so you can operate in the power of God. Man, when you get in the spirit, it will change everything for you. Just align yourself with the word. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Verse 14, it says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Saints of God, what spirit is leading you? What spirit is leading in your house, on your job? What spirit overtakes you when things don't go your way? All of a sudden, you know, the devil rises up. You know, the devil knows how to get you. And he starts whacking you with the whack-a-mole hammer. And he's like whacking you as a mole. And now all of a sudden, you're like, oh, you start responding like the whack-a-mole. All of a sudden, now you don't want, now you cussing and swearing, you yelling at people, you telling, operate, you, the spirit that you're trying to get free of is now all over you. You're trying to drive it away, and now it's come on you. And that's because you're not tapped in to the right realm. You got to tap in to the realm of the spirit. If you're of the spirit, then you will have spiritual results in your life. If you're operating in the flesh, then whatever it is that comes your way, it's going to leap on you. It's going to ride you like a jockey. My brother said, ride you like a jockey. And you're going to find yourself doing whatever the devil wants you to do. Stuff is going to be coming out of your mouth. You're going to be doing stuff, and your kids are just going to be going. And the next question is, I thought that all that stuff they said in church was real. I guess it's not. And now they're confused. They're confused because Mom and Dad act one way at church, and then they go home, and when the devil jumps on them, they act like something else, which means there's no power in the things of God because they can't do it. And saints of God, that's a bad witness. You and I have to learn how to rise up. When we see the devil rise up, call him out. Yes. You say, Satan, get behind me. That's what Jesus said. He said, Satan, get behind me. Talking to people, you'll be like, what the? Get behind. You're like, I'm Peter. I'm not. What the? Wait a minute. Are you? Oh, who's going to talk back to Jesus? Nobody. Nobody. Peter wasn't going to question Jesus. What do you mean by that? What do you mean? He knew what it meant. There was a spirit on him. And Satan was at work. And sometimes people, they say, well, don't judge me. I'm not judging you. I'm telling you about that spirit that's on you. You got a spirit, brother. You got a spirit, sister. Shake that thing off. You can be free. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. And so we want to be led by the Spirit of God. He says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out. Abba Father. Not just, oh, praise the Lord. He said, you cry out. I'm like, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. When you cry out, boy, the devil has to wake up. He says, what the? He says, ooh, ooh. And I'm backing up. And we cry out to God. The devil wants you to keep quiet. He wants to rob you of your praise, rob you of your celebration, rob you of your joy. He wants to oppress you and keep you down so you just be religious.
Dignified.
Meanwhile, the devil is all over everything you got your hands on. You have no power, no victory, nothing but trouble. And God says, I want to set you free. I want you to be liberated by the Spirit of God. All you have to do is apply this principle, apply this word, and you will see. It says the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. In other words, you're going to feel that quickening. They call it the quickening. Hallelujah. I love that. Woo, man, it just gives you that. Mm. Hallelujah. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about over here. Yes, you know what I'm saying. And you just got to go, Jesus. Hallelujah. And the Spirit, he will testify that you're a children of God. Sometimes you feel like you're just not sure. You things will get so troublesome sometimes. You say, oh, God, are you still there? Oh, Lord, help me. This is tough. This is trying. This is difficult. And the Spirit goes, I'm here. And you get that, hallelujah. All of a sudden, you get the, And after that starts something, just go, bzzz, and you go, yeah, Lord. I'm like, okay, God, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know why I was doubting that, you know, that you were there. But, you know, you get the unctioning of the Holy Ghost. Oh, my goodness, that's Pentecostal stuff right there. But I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of the Lord will enable you to overcome when you apply the principles of God. All right, well, when you and I realize who we are in Christ, we can persevere. He says, if we are children of God, then we're heirs also. If heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, and indeed if we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Oh, saints of God, there's a day of glory coming. There is a day of glory coming. That's why Jesus said, if my kingdom was of this world, my servants would already be fighting. But he said, I'm not. I'm bringing the resources of my kingdom with me, and I am here to redeem people. I am here to bring them out. My kingdom is not of this realm. I am not of this world, and neither are you and I. You and I have a reason to rejoice. We have a reason to give thanks. If we just hold on to the truth, the devil's going to try to snatch it from you. He's going to try to rob you, but fight for it. Hold on to it. Don't let the enemy rob you. Don't let him rob you of your joy. Don't let him rob you of your peace, your patience, your kindness, your gentleness. Let the Holy Ghost rise up in you and allow the Spirit of the Lord to prevail. And then you will see, even as Elisha did. Elisha was able to learn from Elisha. And Elijah was able to help Elisha to understand how God operates. And so in verse 15 here in 2 Kings 6, it says, when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servants said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. You see, saints of God, you and I, we often feel that we're alone. Elijah felt like he was the only one, but God said, I have 7,000 who have not bowed their knee to Baal. And now here we see Elisha in a similar situation, and his servant is panicking, but Elisha has peace. He's got peace this time. He says, yeah, I remember Elijah's story. I remember what Elijah went through. And so now he's holding on, but his servant is he's like, ooh, he's concerned. And so he says to him, Elijah, he says, Elisha says to his servant, he says, don't worry about it. He says, well, let's talk to God about it. And he says to God, oh Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You and I can understand that God is with us. We are not alone. You may seem like it, but you're looking in the wrong realm. So you're not going to be able to see. And you have to learn how to see in the realm of the Spirit. You need God to bring revelation to you, to give you insight. You are not alone. God is with you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? And if God is able to sustain you and to keep you, he will enable you to endure all things. Saints of God, even if you're by yourself in a situation, one can chase 1,000. Hallelujah. And two can put 10,000 to flight. You and I have power and authority if we tap in to the right realm, the right atmosphere. You'll be able to see what the servant of Elijah sees. When you see the troops of the heavenly angels coming down from God out of the sky, you will see, it may look like clouds to somebody else, but you will see that's the army of the Lord, and they are surrounding the army that is against you. And you will see them coming with chariots of fire, and the hand of God will be your covering. He will sustain you, and he will keep you. Stop looking in the realm of the flesh, of the world, and look into the realm of the Spirit. Allow God to enable you to stand so that you can hold on to the truth of God and know that God has 7,000, hallelujah, that have not bowed their knee to Baal, and neither have they kissed him. Saints of God, I'm telling you what, you are not alone. God is with you. Stand for the truth of God. Stand for the word of the Lord. Don't be intimidated. Don't be afraid. Let God allow you to chase the enemy, to send the enemy, put the enemy to flight. Send the devil packing from your house, from the place where you are, from your job, from all the situations you're in, by holding on to the truth of God, and allow God to use you as part of his foreign legion, that you will be able to operate in kingdom compliance as a draftee and a volunteer for the sake of the kingdom of God, that his will shall be done as a citizen of the holy city. Amen. Prevail, saints of God. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Himself in your life. It doesn't matter where you go. If you tap into the realm of the Spirit of God, his presence will establish himself. And he will drive out every spirit of oppression and bondage, and you will be able to live a life filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and every good work of the Spirit of God. You just need to focus on the realm of the Spirit and not the realm of the flesh. And when you're operating in the Spirit of God, then God will liberate you. He will lift every burden. He will cause every spirit of oppression and bondage to be released from your life. And you will become a worshiper of the Most High God, one who will lift up holy hands, shouting unto God with the voice of victory, giving God the glory, the honor, and the praise. And as you apply the principles of his word, operating in the truth of God, you will find that you will be able to impact the lives of the people, not only in your own house, but in the world around you. You will find your witness and your testimony having an impact because you have not forgotten who you are, but are fulfilling the Great Commission, going into all the world to preach the gospel, to be the witness that God has called you to be. Well, you are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Don't allow the enemy to rob you of your identity and the truth of God. Hold on, saints of God. Be faithful. Know that you can accomplish many things in the hands of the Spirit of God. And if you resist hiding in a cave and allow God to raise you up, you will see that you will fulfill your calling in life, your purpose in life, and God's honor and His name will be upon you, and you will see that you really can change the world around you. Be the ambassadors that Christ has called you to be, and allow the Word of God to come alive through you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your Word today. And we ask, oh God, that you would arise in the midst of your people. Help us to be doers of the word. Help us to understand that we are members of the foreign legion of the Spirit of God. And that you have called us for such a time as this to be your representatives, to rise up and bring down the strongholds of the enemy as we operate in the truth of God's word, that his glory would fill every aspect of our lives. For the sake of the kingdom of God, in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you for coming out to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship today. And I pray the Spirit of the Lord will be with you in all that you do throughout this week. Amen. God bless you and thank you again. Hallelujah. Sing it out, Liz.
Jesus.